3, verses 1 through 21. And as our practice here, we will read the Word of God as a congregation, and let's stand out of respect for God's Word. Beginning with verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through the world him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, as he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. One that doeth evil, the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Thank you. You may be seated. Of course, in this passage of Scripture, we have one of the most famous verses in the Bible, John 3:16, For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And of course, in this passage of Scripture, he gives us the account of meeting a very, very religious man. And not only was this a religious man, but this man was a spiritual leader. He was a Pharisee, one of the most conservative of all the religious Jewish groups. He was a teacher of the law. He was a teacher of the Bible. Can you believe it? And yet when Jesus shocked him. He said to this man, who was very religious, who was very upright, who lived a very good life, he said to him, you must be born again. Unless you're born again, Nicodemus, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus didn't know what to say. In fact, Nicodemus had no idea what he was talking about that. Can you imagine a preacher, a leader of a religious group, a head of a conservative spiritual organization? He had no clue about this most important thing that Jesus said was essential to get to heaven. He said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, you know what? I think cannot means exactly what cannot means. It means you can't. You won't. It's impossible. And Jesus shocked this man. And Nicodemus, he was all confused. You know, can you imagine? Person who is a teacher of the Bible is confused about this subject. And Nicodemus immediately says, What do you mean? You mean I have to be go back to my mother's womb and be born another time? Well, he certainly didn't know what Jesus was talking about, did he? And he was somehow thinking that to be born again meant you had to be, you know, born again, birthed again, physically. And how ridiculous to have such a statement. And in Jesus' answer, he said, no. He says, that which is born of the flesh, like your mother's birth, that's flesh. And flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. He says, but that which is born of the Spirit, God's Spirit, is spirit. He says, Nicodemus, I'm talking to you about a spiritual birth that is as real as your... did I say that right? I'm talking about a spiritual birth that is as real as your physical birth. Your physical birth takes place at a certain time. Physical birth has real life, you know. Physical birth, you know, that baby, you know, it breathes, it cries, it, et cetera, et cetera. You know, all the recognitions of real life. He says, but I'm talking about spiritual birth. And he says to him, this spiritual birth, it's very real. He says, the wind blows where it listeth. And he uses the illustration of a wind. Now, the wind is invisible. You know, wind's invisible. You know, many times we don't think of it that way because we see the leaves rustling or the trees moving, and we don't think of it as invisible, but the wind is invisible, isn't it? And you know, even though it's invisible, you can see the visible results. And he said to Nicodemus, he said, you know, this spiritual birth that I'm talking about, it's like the wind. It's invisible. It's spiritual. It takes place inside a person. It's a real birth into the family of God. But it's invisible. But it's visible because you can see the results of it. Just as though you can see the results of a tornado, or you can see the results of a hurricane, or you can see the results of a strong wind. I mean, we're talking about why Jesus was saying this. He's talking about this is a very real and a very powerful, it's a very visible change. Birth that takes place in a person's life. It's like the wind. And in this case, the Holy Spirit is the one, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, brings about this birth in a person's life. And although it's invisible, although it's spiritual, It's very visible. It's very obvious. It has very powerful results. And then he said to Nicodemus, very interesting thing, and Nicodemus said, how can these things be? How can this be? And Jesus answered and said, how is it thou being a master of Israel? In other words, a master, a ruler, a teacher, one of the rulers of the Jewish religion. Can you imagine that? A person who is the head of the Jewish religion. And Jesus said, how is it you're a master of Israel and you don't even know these things? What was he saying? He's saying, how is it that you don't know the most important thing about life? How is it that you could be a spiritual teacher and you don't know the most important thing about eternal life? How is it that you could be a preacher and you don't even know about this most important thing that is essential to get to heaven? That's having a new birth, being born again. Well, that's quite a question. Maybe you need to ask that. That's a good question to ask preachers, you know, if they know what it means to be born again. But nonetheless, Jesus said a person must be born again. He must be born again. And notice, it says, if I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? In other words, this is the beginning of all the message that Jesus Christ came to teach. The most important down-to-earth beginning point of man's relationship with God is the issue of being born again. Now, Nicodemus should have known that everybody needed to be born again, because Nicodemus knew that every person is born a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says in sin our mother does conceive us. The Bible tells us that a child, as soon as he is born, he is going astray. Now, we have experienced parents here today. And you know, experienced parents know that if you take two little one-year-olds and you put a toy in between them, you know that the one-year-old will say to the other young one-year-old, you know, I know that you want to play with that toy and you can play with that toy and I won't want it, I won't covet it. And I won't hit you over the head with it when you steal it from me. You all know that children are just born perfect. No. Every child is born a sinner. Every child is born the child of Adam and Eve. Every child is born with a heart that we look at the part that we like. We like the part how a child is born in the image and likeness of God. We like that part. We like how, you know, they're a person, and we like the fact that they have a sense of belonging and all those sweet things. But you know, we need to know about the fact that when sin came into the human race, every child now is born a sinner. The Bible says, for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And you know, if your children are old enough, you can almost remember giving the child a command or something they know that they should do or should not do. You can almost visualize it, can't you? You say, don't do that. and they hear you, and they know what you said, and you see it process in their mind, and then they do the opposite. Ever have it to you? Yeah. You know why? Because they're born a sinner. We love them. We love them. And they're a precious soul. They have eternal soul. They're made in the image and likeness of God. But they are born sinners. And Jesus said something wonderful. And when he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again, you know what he's also saying? He was also saying, you can be born again. You can be born again. You're born into Adam's family by birth. You can be born into God's family by birth. Wow. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? Now, every parent ought to rejoice in that fact that that heart, that little heart that is bent on disobedience, that little heart can be replaced with a new heart. That little heart that has a bent toward and a love for certain sins, that bent towards those sins can be taken away. And a bent toward obeying God can be put in that heart. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, it's real. That's what the Bible is describing over and over. Think about it in the Bible. Think about, there's a man in the Bible by the name of Jacob. And really the word, we love the name Jacob and we love all the Jacobs that are here. But you know, the word Jacob means deceiver, supplanter. But you know, Jacob in the Bible was born again. And God gave him a new name. You know what his new name was? He says, Jacob, you're going to be called Israel. Israel means a prince with God. Wow. What an illustration. In the Bible, many people know about Peter. But many people know him as Simon Peter. And when the Lord Jesus met Peter, he said to Peter, you are Simon. And the word Simon means vacillating. You know, hot and cold, up and down. And that was Peter, right? Up and down. One minute says, I'll die. And next minute says, didn't know the man. He says, you're Simon. He says, but you're going to be called Peter, which means a rock, solid, firm, established. Why? Because God was going to do work in Peter's life. He's going to change him. And the new birth talks about one of the things that everybody in this room that is really honest with themselves is really interested in, that we would be changed. That we could change. That we could be different than who we are. I don't mean want to look different than we are. You know, that's kind of foolish, you know. Why would I want to look like somebody else? You know, God made us that way. Be content with that. But you know, on the inside, we all want to be different, don't we? And you know, that's what the new birth is all about. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, a new creation. And you know what that means? That means that we can change. You know, a lot of words in our society are hopeless words. You ever think about that? You have a lot of hopeless words today. You know, some people are labeled an alcoholic. You know what that word means? That word means that a person is hopelessly addicted to alcohol the rest of their life. You know what? I call that a hopeless word. You know, in the Bible, there's no such thing as word alcoholic. You know, in our society, we have words like drug addict. And you know what that means? It means a person has made that decision to allow drugs into their life, and that drug is stronger than them, and now they have, their character has been molded and their being has been motivated that drug will always have power over them bigger than them. But you know what? The Bible doesn't talk like that. The Bible talks about if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Because with Jesus Christ, the new birth, just like Jesus said, is real. It's powerful. It changes us from the inside. I like one of my favorite verses in the Bible is this verse in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and in verse number 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. I will put my law into their hearts. What do you mean? Does that mean that all of a sudden I know everything the Bible teaches when I get born again? No, it's talking about a spirit of obedience. Wouldn't that be great if you said to your child, you know, do such and such, and they said, man, of course, Mom, I just love to obey you. Well, how would you describe that? You'd say, whoa, there's something in their heart that's different. Well, this is the truth of this is what it's saying is the basic premise of the new birth is I'll put my law into their hearts. Now, we've been talking about children. And, you know, there has never been a day in the history of the world that is more difficult to raise children than the day in which we live. Never in the history of the world has it been more difficult to raise children. There are more bad things that are just commonplace knowledge to children that the average grandparent had no idea about until they were 40 or 50. And we got little children making mammoth encounters with very powerful ingredients and dangerous and sinful ingredients in society. I mean, many adults have failed in the encounter with these things. What about little children? How are they going to do it? How are they going to handle it? You know, the beginning step for a child is to be born into the family of God, to get this new birth, to get a new heart. But you know, obviously, I'm not just talking about children. What about adults? What about adults? We live in a day in which many, many people are struggling with addictions, with problems, with emotional issues that are bigger than them. But there's hope. There's hope because not only did Jesus say you must be born again, he said you can be born again. And it's real. He says it's powerful. The new birth. You know, let's think in some particulars of the new birth. Well, you see, just think about human makeup. We have an intellect, we have emotions, and we have a will. Those are unique aspects of the human nature. We have a mind. We have emotions. We call it heart or affections. And we have a will. The new birth vitally affects man's inward being. You see, the Bible tells us that our understanding about spiritual things has been darkened because of sin. You think about that. You know what? The greatest example of the darkening of man's understanding is this. Jesus said, the Bible says, the natural man understands not, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them for their foolishness unto him, because they are spiritually discerned. He's talking about the Bible. You know, the average person will want to pick up this Bible, and after an honest attempt, will put it down and say, I don't have any idea what that is talking about. Why is that? Because we are born sinners. And as sinners, we cannot understand the spiritual message of this Bible unless someone would show us and explain to us that has already been born again. The Bible says the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. Because we have been born with a darkened understanding. The Bible says our affections as well have been darkened. We are drawn to and we love. You know, not everybody loves every sin. But everybody loves some sin. You may not love the sins that other people do, but there's certain sins that you might, and we all certainly love. And we don't want to give them up, and we do them because we want them. We delight in them. And people are delighting and wanting things that destroy them, destroy their children, destroy their families. Why? Because they love them. You know why? Because we're born sinners. But the Bible says when the new birth takes place in a person's life, they get a new heart. Their love changes. Their love changes. They begin to see different things differently, and they say, you know, I don't really like that anymore. And then they see the things of God, and they say, you know, that... Oh, that is so wonderful. People have this idea that, you know, a real Christian walks a life of a tightrope. No, a real Christian lives a life of a changed heart. You know, I was telling a boy not recently, I said, do you like liver? He said, no. And I said, okay, so if I served you liver for lunch, you wouldn't be tempted to take a second helping, would you? He said, no. Why? Because he doesn't like liver. But you know, when you get saved, God changes your affections. And instead of sin looking good, you see it just like that second helping of liver. Wow, that's a great change. Amen? That's a great change. Because our affections get changed when we're born into the family of God. But you know, there's another part of us that's very real, and that is our will. Now, if you're an experienced parent, you know a little secret that you don't want your children to know. And that is, if you're a child, don't listen. What can you do to change a child's will? You heard about Dennis the Menace. Dennis the Menace, Mom and Dad said, you were naughty. You go stand in the corner. And so Dennis the Menace was standing in the corner. But the caption says, Dennis says, I may be standing on the outside, but I'm on the inside, I'm sitting. Why? Because will is pretty strong, isn't it? You know, a four-year-old can have a mighty powerful will, right? Add that up to an 18-year-old. Add that up to a 40-year-old. And they want to do what they want to do, and who's going to stop them? There has to be some mighty big persuasion. But you know, when a person is born again, God gives them a new will. Gives them the will that has the ability to submit to God. Ability that has not only a will to submit to God, but says, I want to submit to God. Now that's a change, isn't it? Wouldn't you like to see that in your children? It's real. It's real. Jesus said a man must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. It's not only needed in our life, and it is wonderful in the person's experience, and it is essential for a family to be able to raise their children rightly and give them the best in this such a terribly twisted world. But it's essential for a man or a woman or a child to get to heaven. And you know, I think you can tell by now from what I've said that this is not a mystery. This is not a mystery. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know you have eternal life. You know, this new birth thing isn't a mystery. It isn't, well, maybe I have it, maybe I don't. No, you know what? Jesus said it's just like the wind. It's invisible, but it's obvious. It's real. It's powerful. First men born again, either they have or they haven't. It's not the same as being religious. Nicodemus was not only religious. I mean, he was really religious. I mean, he wasn't just really religious. He was really religious. You know what I mean? But he wasn't born again. He wasn't on his way to heaven. He had all the religion anybody could ever handle in life. That wasn't going to get him to heaven. He wasn't born again. It was obvious he wasn't going on this way to heaven because he didn't even know what it was. He didn't even know what Jesus was talking about. But you know what? Jesus said, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And just as a person is born at a very specific time in life, my birthday is March 8th, 1950. I almost forgot it. No. Now you can tell me afterwards if I look that old or I don't. All right. But, you know, I really have a birthday. I have really birthday. And I the only reason I know it's my birthday because my mom told me that. And the birth certificate says it. But you know what? By the grace of God and His mercy to me, I have another birthday. It's October 31st, 1968. And nobody told me that I had that birthday. My mom didn't tell me I had that birthday and then go to the hospital and get that birthday. I got that birthday because that was the day that I turned from going my own way. That I turned as a sinner to the only one who could forgive me of my sins. And that was Jesus Christ. The Bible says, to as many as received Him, And I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior that day. I needed Him oh so desperately. And I finally realized I did. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Oh, what a wonderful thing. That was the day I became a child of God. And you know what? That was the beginning of a great change in my life. A great change in my life. And God did it. He changed my desires. He changed my will. He gave me an understanding of this book. And I start reading this book and say, hey, I know what this means now. I know what it means to be born again. I know what it means to believe. I didn't take a course on religion from the university. I'd already graduated from catechism, and I still didn't understand what it meant to believe. No, I was born again. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You see, you get eternal life the moment you're born into God's family. And it's not just some life that goes on and on and on and on after you die, which is a long time. But it's eternal life. It's new life for right now. It's like Jesus said, it's like the wind blowing. It's invisible, but it's powerful. It's obvious. And so the chapter ends with telling us the provision for this new birth that could take place in a person's life. The Bible says, verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus Christ was lifted up to the cross. And there, God the Father turned His back on the Lord Jesus, and darkness covered the earth. And why? Because our sin was placed on Jesus Christ. He became our substitute so we could have forgiveness of sins. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ was lifted up that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have eternal life. And you know, the word believe, I realize, is a misunderstood word. You know, most people think that believe means, you know, yeah, I accept that Jesus died. I accept the fact that He was real and that He was a historical figure. And so I believe that He really was here, that He really died on the cross. And no, that is intellectual belief. That's not what He's talking about. You can look it up in your Bible, James 2. It says the devils believe and tremble. What kind of belief do the devils have? They know that Jesus is the Son of God. They know that He was in heaven's glory. They know that He condescended and took upon Him human flesh and robed His deity in flesh so He could be our substitute and grow up and die on a cross as our Savior. And He rose from the grave and is alive today, the living Savior. They know that. And they know that Jesus Christ is going to condemn them to hell forever and ever. But that's all their belief is. It's a mental acknowledgement. But the belief in the Bible that saves, that is required with Jesus Christ, is a belief of complete dependence. It's a belief of total trust. It's a belief of persuasion that what He promised that He was able to do. And what did He promise? He promised. And the Bible promises and tells us that Jesus' blood was shed on our behalf for all our sins. And that if a person would put their simple faith 100% in Jesus Christ, that at that moment, they could be born again. Wow. That simple? It is that simple, but you know, it really isn't that simple. You know why? The problem is because every one of us, we start off thinking that we are good enough to somehow be able to help God to save us. We all of us, we think that somehow there's something that we can do, some good work we can do, some religious deed we can do. You know, all the religions of the world are based on some kind of good works that people are trying to do to get their way to heaven. And as long as a person is thinking like that, they've never seen themselves as a sinner. They've never seen themselves as a person who really can't save themselves, can't help God at all, but they are really unworthy, a sinner, helpless before God. But when a person, by the grace of God and God's mercy, admits their sinfulness and sees that they can't do anything to merit heaven, there's no religious deed that they can do, but it's only what Jesus Christ did for them on Calvary's cross, and how that they are, like the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. And so the moment a person sees themselves as a lost sheep, willfully, purposely, wantingly gone astray, doing their own thing, even though they might be the biggest religious person in the world, they're still a sinner. Seeing themselves as a sinner, hopeless against this wicked thing of sin, it's just so powerful, and that we need the forgiveness that only can come because Jesus' blood was shed on our behalf. The Bible says the moment a person would look to Jesus Christ in 100% faith, trust, that moment, they'll be born again. They'll be born again. And it's real. It's real. It's real. Oh, you might not understand it, but it's real. It's real. And so today, God wants you to give you his best. He wants to give you his best. He gave his best on Calvary's cross. He wants to give you his best. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants to give you a new birth. But we must be willing to receive it. We must be willing to turn to him in our heart and put our faith 100% in Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, puts their 100% trust in Jesus Christ, God's provision for our sin in him, whosoever believeth, turneth to him in complete dependence, turning from ourselves, our own way, and turning to him, the Bible says, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is God's plan. This is the greatest thing could ever happen to you. This is the greatest thing could ever happen to your family. This is what God's provision. This is God's answer in this very, very dark day. Now, you might raised in a religious home. You might have been raised in church. And you know, you went through catechism and you said some magic words in catechism, or you did this or you did this. And you can say all these things. But my question to you, have you been born again? Have you? It doesn't matter what religious stuff you went through. It doesn't matter whether you gave 5,000 hours of community service and you're a good person, so to speak. That doesn't matter anything. Jesus said, except a man be born again, you can't. You cannot see the kingdom of God. And the Bible says that through Jesus Christ, you can, in this life, by faith in Jesus Christ, you can be born again today. Right there in that pew. You have to join this church. No. We're not offering anything like that. Right there in that pew. Just you. Nobody else. Husband, you can't do it for your wife. Wife, you can't do it for your husband. You. You could personally turn to Jesus Christ and trust Him with all your sin. Turn to Him as a sinner, knowing that only He can make you new. Turning to Him as the one who rose from the dead, the living God. His victory over sin and death and the devil can change your life. Right there, would you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you put your faith in Him today? That's God's offer to you. We are merely proclaiming the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ. We'll bow in prayer in just a moment. But why don't you make that a time between you and God? Just between you and God. Nobody else will know. But once you make that time between you and God of putting your faith 100% in Jesus Christ. And if you do, you will be born again and you will know it. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for the wonderful message of the Lord Jesus. The wonderful message because He died, because He rose again, because He is the living God, and He paid our penalty, that He can give us a new birth. He can overrule the sin of Adam and Eve, the death that we are born with, and the sin that we have committed can be forgiven, and we can become a new creature. Lord, I pray as we have this great host of parents and friends who are here because they love their children. Lord, may they realize, may they today realize that the best that they could ever have in life is found in Jesus Christ. And they can be born into His family. And they can be new, a new creature, a new heaven, new life. I pray that you'll help them through your Holy Spirit to put all this together in their heart and their soul. To calculate what Christ has done for them. To consider in their own heart what we all are. We're born sinners. We're all born in a certain helpless state in a certain way. But Lord, in your grace, you have offered to us, because Jesus paid the penalty, offered to all of us here, everyone, without exception, offered us eternal life, a new birth, by simply putting our total faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, I would pray that you will give special help even now to those who are considering this, that they even this day might make that transaction in their heart. And right now in their soul, call out, cry out to Jesus Christ to be their Savior and Lord and mean it. Lord, for those who are here today, and this is something new, they just have really never been exposed to the basic message of the Bible and of Christ. I pray that, Lord, that you'll help them to continue to consider it and to think about it and to think of the greatness of what Christ did. And the great hope that there is in Jesus Christ and the new life that He gives. Lord, help all of those to overcome the obstacles. The obstacles, Lord, of maybe their own will and their own heart and the things, even the sinful things that they are in love with, that have control of their life, that are kind of struggling with whether they want that sin or they want a Savior who will save them from that sin and give them complete forgiveness and give them a new heart and deliver them from the power of that. Lord, I pray you'd help people in that struggle as they're weighing the things that are grabbing their heart away from God and from the Lord Jesus. Help them to, Lord, even now to see it clearly. That what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Lord, I pray that you would, in a very special way, meet with these special people that have come today on Family Day. Might you turn each one to faith, real faith in Jesus Christ. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.